faith, which keeps you from your next level. Many of you have been right on the precipice of the next level in your life with God, but because of a fear of the unknown, you've retracted just before you've crossed into. And God wants you to know this morning that the more you know Him, the more you'll trust Him. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God, and God's going to order your steps in places you have never been before, because your next level means you've never been there before. So if you don't trust Him, you'll never go. As a believer, it's time to start believing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I've got to preach fast today. I feel Bostonian kicking in. Glory to Jesus. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Tell somebody, I don't have the spirit of fear. Now listen, there are actually demonic spirits called spirits of fear. What you'll find is that demon, if you allow that spirit, that demonic spirit, to enter through natural fear, and then you will allow it to captivate you with a phobia. What is a phobia? A phobia is a fear all grown up. And what will happen is you know that you're being controlled by a spirit when the natural things scare you to where you're unwilling to move forward. Listen now, it is never normal fear to be afraid of crossing a bridge. It is not normal. How many of you remember when you were a child, you were always afraid to hang your foot over the bed because the boogie monster was going to get you? Some of you slept with your lights on all the time. Why? Because you allowed fear to grab a place in your life to literally it started owning what and how you did your life. And I want you to realize that God has never given you the spirit of fear, but of power. Shout, I got power. Shout, I'm full of love. And tell somebody, really, I am sane. He's giving you a sound mind. Fear destroys a sound mind. Fear destroys love. And fear destroys power. Because you'll never release power when you're afraid that nothing's going to happen. You will never, ever live in perfect love if you allow fear to captivate your life. And you will never have a sound mind. This is why, and we talked about it a year and a half ago, I gave you the scientific study called neuroplasticity. If I say that, neuroplasticity. What is that? They have actually proven that how you think determines how you will be. They've actually done studies, and the majority of all sicknesses come from how you think. How you and I think, and this is why God works so desperately on this, allows fear to settle or allows it to grab a hold and own. There's a time to say, with neuroplasticity, this is the study of science, it says this, everything you think literally starts physiologically, I'm talking realistically, in your physical brain, starts creating trees. They're called thought trees, and there's a big long name for it that I just refuse to say out loud. And what happens is they've shown literally through science what that tree looks like. It's pink, it's beautiful, it looks normal. But then they also took a photograph of negative thinking or of fear controlling a brain. And they still created a thought tree. And that tree was all crotchety and wretched looking. And it literally, you could tell the difference. It was not pink, it was not healthy, it was bringing death. How you think will either allow life or death to rule in your life. It will either allow faith to rise or fear to control. And it's time to know that God has not called you or given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You see, fear comes when we put more faith in fear than we do in God. That's why fear is so damning. Because it's actually declaring who we believe more of. Does this natural control us or does God control us? Are we literally walking by faith and not by sight, or are we walking by sight and not by faith? You see, we have a decision to make in our Christian walk. You're either saved because you just simply want to go to heaven and don't want to go to hell. Now, I would say that is intelligent. Can I hear an amen? But that's not why God saved you. God saved you so that you could walk successful on this planet and fulfill the purpose that he has for you right here. You are not an accident. God has determined a design for you. He created you as tall as you need to be, as whatever ethnicity you are. He created you even in the nations that you live in. He created you, come on now, not 1,000 years ago, but he created you for now. You are not accidental in the plan of God. And in that, in the in the intricacy of God's plan, listen, I just keep going. In the intricacy of God's plan, I had to think that one through. In the intricacy of God's plan, if you and I live anything but by faith, you'll never reach the levels that he has for you. And I know some of you are okay with that. And the problem with that is, how sad to realize when you get to heaven and God shows you what you could have been, not what you are. You see, God has a plan for your life, and it's time for us to not allow fear to control us, not allow our past to control us, not allow our thinking and our emotions to control us, but to look fear in the face and to get fear to run and not faith to run. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, we have got to choose to believe and obey the word of God. You and I are covenant children. We're not just people that got saved and joined a religious organization. That's why we don't have membership here. This is so you can't say, well, I joined his Tabernacle Family Church. Listen, it doesn't matter what church you belong to. It matters whose kingdom you belong to. It matters, do you know God? It matters, are you growing in God? It matters, are you maturing in your relationship with God? This is all what the passion of heaven is. The passion of heaven is maturation. The passion of heaven is that you and I grow up in Christ and stop being babes. Listen, we were once children, but now we're not children. We've got to put those things away, which means we cannot be controlled by the boogeyman anymore. How you and I think determines how we speak. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more you understand the word of God, the more you know the word of God, the more you have God's word in your life. This is why he works so desperately to keep you out of church. This is why he works so desperately to keep you out of devotions on a daily basis. This is why he's keeping you out of rock solid faith. This is why he's keeping you, come on now, out of step 2, 3, and 4. This is why he's keeping you out of groups. Because the more he can keep you out of the word, the more ignorant you remain, the more you don't know your covenant rights. And if you don't know your covenant rights, then you don't have the ability to stand. After you've done all you can do to stand therefore. You've got to know the word. The word changes. Why? Why does the word change your life? Because God said, I hold my word above my name. You see, this is a time when you and I've got to press in, especially in these last days. Jesus is coming. Come on now. I said, Jesus is coming. Now, I don't think you even believe it. I'm telling you now. I'm prophesying to you now. Jesus is coming. When you realize how close the trumpet of God is, we can't sit back idle any longer. We got to get on our feet. We got to get on our toes. And we've got to get ready to move forward. Why? Because as warriors of Christ, we've got a call and a purpose. We cannot allow fear to arrest our design. Say amen or oh my. Your thinking has to obey the word of God. Remember, your soul is the enemy of God. Your soul is how you think, how you feel, and your own personal will. Don't tell me what to do. Come on, anybody ever say that before? Anybody ever tell your parents that before? How many of you got a whooping? Say thank you to your mom and dad this afternoon. Glory to God. They kept you from death. Why is that? Because if you and I are allowed to think any way we want, let me tell you what's going to happen. You know, everybody says to me, how come we live in such a horrible world? If God is love, how can this world be so bad? It's easy, because men have chosen not to follow God. Therefore, our minds are twisted and warped. How can they sign legislation that allows a baby to be delivered and to have a child killed? How can that be allowed? How is that even intelligent? New York led the way. Aren't we blessed? And now it's going to be brought. They're talking about it in New Jersey right now. They're talking about it in Virginia right now. They all want to bring, and they want to be able to kill babies. Even, listen, one girl, she posted it online. If an aborted baby comes out alive, she drowns them. She would drown them. How is that feasible? How is it feasible to go into a country or a nation and just start destroying everybody of the same dialect or the same ethnicity background? How is that even possible? How is it in Europe right now that if you're old and frail, they can kill you? How is that? Because when man's mind is allowed to do whatever it wants, then the influence is not God, who is love, but it's Lucifer, who hates mankind and will kill and destroy, because that's what he does. You see, our minds, if we aren't willing to say, listen, you've got to come into agreement with God's word, then you and I are going to think warped and twisted too. How is it that people can think they're right? Well, the Bible says it's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. How is that possible? Because we're not making our minds line up with the word of God. If you don't know the word, then it's easy. You think you're right. Somebody said to me, you always think you're right. Listen, show me where I'm wrong in the word, and I have no problem standing up right. I'll stand right up here in the pulpit, and I'll confess before when I'm wrong. I have no problem. I've done it before, because I've been wrong before. Anybody been wrong once? Twice. All righty. We've all been wrong. But I want you to realize that literally I try to make my mind, I grab a hold of the word when I have a thought, and I say, does this line up with God's word? Because if I think God's word, I'm going to create thought trees that are going to be healthy, and I will have a sound mind. How many of you want a sound mind? Say amen. You see, when we bring our brain and our mind in subjection, fear will have no location. Just like darkness is simply the subtraction of light, fear is the subtraction of faith. The more faith you have, the less fear has room. The more you think God's word, the less fear will be able to rise in your life and captivate you and keep you from your next level. We have got to control our thinking. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, you can't think whatever you want. Well, that sounds like mind control. Exactly. You're finally getting it. I told you it was a cult. I'm telling you that God demands mind control. It's not church control. It's not religion control. It's not pastor control, because then that would be a cult. But when it's word control, it means that we are declaring that God is number one in our life, and that whatever he says, I will do, I will obey. For it's better to obey than to sacrifice. We've got to say, God, I am not the king. You are the king. And whatever you tell me to do, I will do, not because you're having to make me, but because I love you, and perfect love casts out all fear. I refuse to allow fear to captivate me, because I choose to allow God's word to own me. Don't be anxious for anything or worried about anything. Philippians chapter 3, 6 through 9. But in everything, every circumstance, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests made known to God. And then the peace of God. Come on now. How many of you just want some peace? Amen. The peace of God, that peace that reassures the heart, that peace that transcends all understanding, that peace that reassures your mind, that peace that is in your heart by God, keeps your heart and your mind through Jesus. Finally, brethren, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is wholesome, whatever is lovely, whatever is peace, whatever is admirable, whatever is good report, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them. Implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen me, practice these things. Come on now, shout practice. shall practice. Some of us have been owned by our brain for so long, it's going to take some practice to get it out. Come on, Romans tells us that. Romans 12 says, renew your mind continually. How do you renew? It means it was once something, now you got to change it. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26, verse 3. And you will keep in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is steadfast on God. I love Joshua 1, 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you can be careful to do everything in accordance that is written in it. For then, everybody shout then. Yes. Come on, shout then. Only when you do those, when the Word of God is your number one priority, when the Word of God is how you think, when the Word of God is how you govern your life. Come on now, can I hear an amen? Amen. That's what it says. Then you will make your way prosperous. It doesn't say God will make your way prosperous. When your mind is stayed on the Word of God, God said that is what's going to make you a prosperous person. You see, those that keep Christ as the top and the priority of how they think, that God has told them to bring their mind into subjection, to gird up the loins of their mind, to stop allowing fear to run rampant in your life. When you learn these principles, then you are going to make your way prosperous, because you're going to be willing to step out on nothing to land on something. You're going to be willing to trust God when it makes no sense. You're going to be willing to follow God where it makes no intelligent design. It's time for you and I to recognize that if God is for us, who can be against us? And God desires the best for your life, not survival, but He desires you to thrive and to be a vision in this earth. Listen now, I believe that as believers, the world should look at the church and say, I need God like they got God, because their God's better than my God. You got to arrest your thoughts. How do I do this? I got to end. It's the fastest sermon you ever hear. Turn to someone and say, it takes practice. How many of you have ever taken a test the night before you didn't study? And you get up the next morning and you said, I'm just going to pray. How'd you do? You want to know why? If you don't have it in you, He can't get it out of you. If you don't put it in, it can't come out. The Bible says the job of the Holy Spirit is to bring to remembrance all those things which Jesus taught. But you can't remember what He taught if you weren't taught. The teaching is not a religious obligation in the aspect of learning some religious dialect. What it is learning the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When the Word of God becomes your guide, then fear will have no place. You see, fear will always come. But if it stays, it's because you've allowed it to have a key to the room. And it takes practice. Some of us got saved later in life, so our whole life has been allowing fear to rush in and to literally own us. So now you've got to practice every time you feel that trigger of fear. You've got to take an aggressive position and say, in the name, what did I say? Say, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You got to speak what you want. You see, words are seed, and seed always brings a harvest. So I always say what I want God to do. I always speak it out loud, what I'm believing God to change in my own life. I always say when I'm dealing with something that's dealing with a fear process, I speak to the fear. You say, I say to the mountain, be thou removed. I declare to you fear in the name of Jesus. You have no right, for I have a covenant designed from God, and that is, I've got the right to be saved. I've got the right to be healed. I've got the right to prosper. I've got the right to be healed. And God, by your word, you cannot lie. You see, when you learn this, you learn, come on now, you learn 1 + 1 is, 2 + 2 is, 5 + 5 is, 10 × 10 is. Come on now. You learned that. How many of you remember third grade? I do. Mrs. Spencer, the lowest, I had all N's that year. It takes practice. Some of you have bad dreams. I want you to realize that your subconscious man is responsible to obey the word of God. My children have nightmares, somebody said. That's all right. Go in and cast out that spirit of fear. Come on now, put in some worship. Put on the word in that kid's room. You'll drive out that devil who's trying to torment your kid at night. That's an actual spirit. You see, we've got to take authority in the name of Jesus. God said, I've given you all authority over the power of the devil. And we have authority over the power of fear. So when fear comes, I'm not saying it's not going to come. I'm saying it is going to come. But when fear comes, you've got to make a decision. Will I choose to believe the fear or will I choose to have faith? That's a choice. Now let me ask you a question. When you've chosen to believe your fear, how has that worked out for you? If it worked, then everything's perfect. You start obeying the voice of fear, and you're going to subtract yourself from your destiny. You're going to destroy the plan that heaven has for you. But if you choose to listen to the voice of faith, you choose to allow the word of God to rise up in you. You choose to speak God's word and declare the authority you have in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that you might not have victory every moment of every time, but the more you practice, the better you're going to be. And I want you to realize those small fears will become nothing to you. All of a sudden, those big fears that once controlled you are going to come into subjection in the name of Jesus. And you're not going to be controlled by any fear, but you're going to be willing to walk out on nothing, to land on something. You're going to be willing to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to see God move mountains for you. Why? Because you choose to believe God over any circumstance, over any problem, over any voice, and you declare that God is able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. You see, your next level demands mind control. I'll prove it to you and I'll end. I was saying that by faith. Romans chapter 8, 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For you to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind, the carnal mind, is the enemy of God. For it is not subject to the word of God, nor can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, the more we live in fear, the less we can please God. Because you'll never do anything that you can't control yourself. And the moment that starts happening in you, your fears will grow. Fears are amazing because they never start usually massive, especially phobias. They start in a little incubation of your mind. Something happens and all of a sudden, I'm talking something real happens, something real that really is serious. It's happening in your life and you have a choice at that very moment. If you choose to allow that fear to incubate, all of a sudden, all of your thoughts are now going to that fear. You're feeding it. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. Just not too long ago, I had a situation in my own life that was startling to me. And it was very difficult for me. Emotionally, fear. I remember for a month, I would wake up, and that's the very first thought that was on my mind. Very first thought was that. And after a bit, I finally said to myself, self, let the word become prominent in your life. Practice. And I spoke to my fear and I said, you will not be the first thing on my mind when I wake up in the morning. There'll be a song of joy in my heart. And my first words and my first thoughts will not be about this situation, but will be about the word of God. It will be about God's kingdom. And I'll talk to the Holy Ghost. I try not to talk to my wife first thing in the morning. Not that I don't love her. Not that we don't have good conversation. Not that she's not a nice person. Not that I don't bring her coffee. But I always talk to my Jesus first. Why? Because I want the very first thoughts to be stayed on him. See, fear can only control your life if you allow it. And if you do allow it, I want you to know the devil always realizes your cap. Okay, this is my second one. I'm gonna end with this. That's number two. That's number four. I'm over by one. Give me grace. The devil knows your cap of fear. He's tested it. So every single time you start to rise in the spirit, every single time you start to rise and start doing the things of God, what's going to happen is this. He's going to bring that fear in your life to get you to back down. You've got to make a decision. I'm never backing down another day in my life. Never backing down. It's not an option. I don't care how dangerous it looks in front of me. I don't care how bad it looks in front of me. I don't care what people can do to me. I don't care, I could lose my business. I don't care, I could lose my family. I don't care, I could lose this, I could lose that. Listen now, you can lose it in fear just as quickly as you can lose it in faith. So I make a decision. God cannot lie. God's word is truth, and the truth shall make me free. I choose to keep my mind stayed on his word. I choose to keep my mind in Christ Jesus. I put a tunnel. I put a cloth. The Bible says, put like a horse's eye blinder on yourself. So all you can see is the word. I want you to realize this. If you don't do this, then you're going to be controlled by fear. And every time you start cresting to go to your next level, the devil's going to put that fear back in your life, and you're going to go, oh, and you're going to back down. Some of you are right there, right now, today. This is your day. You're in a day of decision. And I'm not even talking walk with God. I'm talking like reality of life. You're dealing with fears in your life, and man, God's got something great for you, but you can't cross there because your fear is greater than your faith. Can't you see that you've been there more than once? Can't you see that it didn't work the last time? Why do you keep going around the same mountain? True insanity is doing the same things all the time and expecting a different result. Step out in faith. But what if it doesn't work? Who cares? At least you're moved. At least your feet are not plugged into the ground. I gotta stop. About 5 years ago, it was opening day of deer season. Amen. My dad and I were in the lower portion of the property I was leasing. I had the ATV. We drove it down. I was in the tree and so on and so forth. And I harvested an animal, and I went down with the ATV to pick it up, and I put it on the back of the ATV, and I'm driving up through the woods. And it was just a little frosty. There was no snow, just a little frosty. And I went over a log about this big. For an ATV, that's no big deal. Well, I was on an incline, and when I hit that, all of a sudden, the wheels of the ATV spun, and I knew I was going over. So I decided, jump now, instead of let this thing roll on top of you. So I jumped, and when I jumped, I hit flat. I kept going, but this leg sunk down about 6 inches in the dirt. Yeah. It wasn't exactly the sound. It was snap. And when I hit the ground, I realized, you know that feeling where you're not sure if you're going to poop or puke? I had that one. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. You laughed. When I got up, my knee went like this. The ACL literally blew. They couldn't even find it in the MRI. It was gone. The ankle broke. Do you want to know why that happened? Because I allowed that to sink. I couldn't move when I needed to be agile. Some of you are there. You've allowed that fear to keep you, own you. And today, Jesus wants to set you free. Amen? You have no right to be harnessed. God has not called you to little. He's called you to much. And you never know what God's got planned for you until you're willing to step out on nothing to land on something. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, I'm just going to simply ask this if the prayer team can come to the front of the altar real quickly. Mindy, if you'll come over here, please. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm afraid what my friend is going to say. Listen, your friend's not going to be there when you get to heaven with you. Who cares what your friend says? Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to give up my life. Well, you are. But if God didn't offer something better, then why would he even offer anything? I'm afraid people are going to reject me. Well, they are. They are going to reject you because they're not going to want the God you serve. They liked you better as a drunk. They liked you better high. Why? Because there was no conviction put on them. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to have Mindy step up 2 steps, please. Come on. She's right here. I'm late. I got to move. So if you want God, you're just going to have to come get him. If you'd like Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when we dismiss, Mindy's right here. She'll pray with you. We'll get you a Bible. We'll get you solid. You'll get to grow. And listen now, if you're that afraid, look at your friend and say, hey, will you go up with me? They'll go up with you because they walked here too. If you have a spirit of fear on you, you are being controlled by fear. This prayer team right now is prepared and anointed to cast out any spirit of fear. And you're going to find freedom when you leave this room. So today, I've got to stop. Father, bless us. Lord, pour out your spirit upon us like you did again. Lord, let it happen this week at our own home. I declare in Jesus' name, no spirit of fear, no phobias are going to control our lives. We have been set free and free indeed. We refuse to stay steady. We refuse to sink into the ground. We are going to our next level, and fear will not control us, and we will practice control over our minds with the word of God. That is who we are. Children of God of success, not children of failure, of fear. And Lord, we declare it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Prayer team's here if you need prayer for fear. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, right here. Mindy's standing right here. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Enjoy Jesus today. Where is she?